Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. The home of the local call of the big game. Live from Minneapolis, Zoe and Beetle. Sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pretty amazing. You know, I think that shows what he's all about. You know, he's been a starter in this league. He knows what he's doing. Their team has a lot of confidence in him. He's had a great year for the time he's been in there. And our defense has a big challenge. They got a lot of guys to stop. Nick Foles is a great player. They've got great backs, great group of receivers, tight ends, phenomenal, great offensive line. I mean, there's a lot to defend. So it's not an easy game by any stretch.
It's Tom Brady talking about Nick Foles. Tom Brady has been brought to you all season by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network, AT&T, entertainment your way. Noontime hour here on Radio Row in Minnesota as we get ready for the Super Bowl. Burt Breer, the MMQB, is with us. Our thanks to Chris Sims for stopping by last segment. Why don't we get to some of the calls here?
Sure.
That we've been
neglecting. Hey, thanks for hanging, people.
Appreciate you hanging on.
It's a long time.
Dan in Lakeville on Allen Branch. We just talked about him a moment ago. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
I'm wondering, do you think Allen Branch could be a factor in this game?
No.
Seeing how the RPOs.
Nope.
I don't think
he'll suit up.
RPOs. What's he going to do to stop an RPO?
I think the Allen Branch ship sailed a long time.
It's over. It's over. How did you put it?
He
retired a year ago and didn't tell anybody?
I saw him in the lobby. To JW coming in. He was coming in from outside. I had to do a double take. It doesn't even look like him.
Meaning what?
He's packed on.
Oh.
Just.
That's.
Heaviness. And it's not even muscle. He's gotten heavy.
So he's just chilling.
I think he's on cruise control. He has headphones on. He was just looking down.
Yeah, you know, sometimes guys retire and they don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see him Sunday.
I don't think you'll see him in uniform. I don't.
We just talked about that with Chris Sims. Obviously, Dan wasn't hearing that part.
Be a factor. Hey,
hope he's enjoying the mall.
It's a nice mall.
Carl, you guys see the beef jerky experience over there?
Hold on a second. What?
The beef jerky experience.
What is you know that? What this looks like?
There's a store called the Beef Jerky Experience in here.
Look at Tough Jeans there. This
Meaning
is
what,
almost
all
like
beef jerky.
Yep. Like it's this, like right. It's right on the other side.
It's almost like it's a movie part, right? And these are fake stores, and they're
right.
Like these fake names just so because you couldn't get the rights to use them in the movie.
Yeah.
Wonder where that came. Where
beef
that
jerky experience. And there's a huge banner there like that's promoting the beef jerky bowl. So I guess it all comes down to that. Beef jerky bowl.
So what do you mean? You could go in there and mix your jerkies up?
It's just like if you look inside, there's just a wall. It's all beef jerky. We'll walk over there during the break.
We will.
I'm on some jerky.
Want to take a quick spin?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Bert's making plans for us.
Let's take a quick spin.
A little jerky jaunt.
Let's take a quick spin over to the beef jerky experience during the break.
I like Carl this. Is on the road today. Carl?
Got Sasquatch in there, maybe.
Yeah, hi. I was talking about
Carl
versus time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I found it interesting because, you know, I'm sure, you know, obviously I don't know Tom, but I'm sure that he has control over everything that is shown, the ultimate product that gets put out. And there's a lot of concentration on the interaction between him and Alex Guerrero. I was surprised, you know, at how much they're showing basically him getting massaged. In the last episode, there was I'm a little bit sensitive to this because I to kind of explain why I'm calling. I just went to my cardiologist, and there's a way that he checked my pulse. Like, apparently there's an artery, like, in your inner thigh or something like that that by pressing on it, they can see how well your heart's doing, how strong it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before he did it, he said to me, this is going to be uncomfortable, but, you know, it's something I have to do. And to be honest, it was uncomfortable. I just, you know, I'm not used to anything like that. And, you know, I have a good relationship with my cardiologist, but it was uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable from what? But with the pressure that he put
or that he was touching your inner thigh?
Touching my inner thigh. Having a guy.
Well, that's on you, man.
You know,
I'll tell you.
All right, so where's this going? How's this relate to Tom?
I don't know.
You don't like a dude rubbing him? Or, I mean,
I don't know.
I found it interesting that that's what he showed. And
why? What do you think he's trying to tell you? What do you think he's trying to tell you?
That's his method.
I don't know that he's trying to tell us anything. It's just I noticed when Edelman walked in, they showed him like staring at the wall, like he was interrupting something, you know, and he just kind of like stared at the wall for a few seconds.
Oh my God!
I think at the very least, it shows that they have, you know, a really strong relationship, and more than a friend, different than a doctor.
More than a friend?
So they're more than just friends.
Oh, the inner thigh touches.
I don't mean boyfriend, but...
What do you mean?
I just thought...
We're throwing around inner thigh talk.
I think you're reaching here.
Thanks, Carl.
I think you're reaching here. That is part of what they do there. And if you notice it...
What are they doing?
I'm going to show you. It's no big deal. I'm going to take Zoe's pulse right now on his inner thigh and watch. No uncomfortability right now.
It's good, dude. You could grab anything, and it's fine.
Grab it.
Go back and watch it. If you watch the method, how he's rubbing him, it's away from the heart. I've talked to Brady about this. He goes, you know, people get in there, and most masseuse, you know, you get your massage, and it's just standard massage, and they'll rub your arm. Sometimes they push everything back in. He goes, our method is everything's away because your heart is your central muscle. To his point about the heart and where you're touching, you know, that point to where they can take your pulse, they want to flush it, everything away from the heart. So everything in the way Alex is getting it done and the kicking, it's getting in there, and it is intense, and you are sweating when you come out of there. My daughter goes, she is dripping in sweat. Because the pain is just so bad because it's so intense. Mm. And they really work you out. Like, you're kicking as he's rubbing. That's not him. You know, that sound.
Yeah.
Where Alex is, yeah, attacking it. And that's not Brady's reaction where the leg's going up in the air. They're forcing him to kick like that because as your muscles are working, that's where they're going in to get it. So that's just what he believes in. That's, he's showing you what he gets worked on every day.
It's like getting that last drop of Capri Sun out of those packs, you know.
I don't think this is like Kenny Loggins and this is
last
like
bit of toothpaste out of the tube.
Yeah, all the guys are going for a bro weekend, and we're all going to, hey, let's go to the Russian bathhouse together or something.
Al is a
they certainly didn't go to the beef jerky experience.
No, we're going there. That's going to be more bro.
Hey, you guys, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to weigh in on the question of whether the clip of Brady's daughter from episode 3 was in response to the Alex Reamer situation.
Yeah.
Could be.
I think that it was a coincidence because the past few weeks they've been releasing promotional videos on the Tom vs. Time Facebook page, and the clip from yesterday's episode was actually a promotional video that was posted on the page.
So you debunked it.
Damn it, Al. You ruined our theory.
We like to think of Gotham Chopra in the editing room like James Cameron. Titanic is being released this weekend. James, what are you doing? No, the scene at the end with Jack on the door, it's not quite right. I got to cut this.
Jack!
I think these things are pretty much all buttoned up.
That was a fun theory.
Jack!
Yeah, that was good.
Sad to see that one go.
Sorry.
There it goes. Good job, Al. Way to pay attention.
Good catch.
Good catch. Good job. Tim in San Francisco says he works for Facebook. Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi,
Tim.
It's true. I actually do. And you can control the media rollout because your program is on your own platform a lot easier. So when people talk about like him having control, not having control, this was a calculated plan on their part to roll it out. Around now, sure, you could have had some flexibility with the timing. So that should sort of like, that should put that to bed. But make no mistake, getting back to actually the last caller, because of the way it rolled out and the way the timing is going to coincide with the Super Bowl, there is a won the Super Bowl and lost the Super Bowl cut in the can, and they'll roll with whichever one is appropriate given the circumstances. And again, that's the kind of thing you can account for.
Late edits, yep.
Do you know this for a fact, or are you just speculating based on how they've done the production so far?
That is, I'm speculating, but I know how the media works. I know that you can take a finished product and slot it in or out. Like I said,
they'll do that.
But one other thing about this video is that we talked a lot about. I was thinking it was Guerrero who was sort of that catalyst for the tension between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft. I almost think that this documentary might have played even more of a role in that, because think about it, for Brady to release this now and for it to have the most impact, he's got to be the big dog in New England doing big dog things, and he has to keep doing it for a long time for a maximum impact. So that might have actually put the pressure on him to really stand up and say, like, no,
well,
I need
to be- okay
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call.
I agree with him to a degree, and then I think what causes the tension is Brady doing things outside of the Patriot program.
And as far as releasing it when he did, listen, if you are deciding to do this documentary
right.
and you want to get it out there and you want the most amount of people to watch it, I mean, that's what we all want. We want the most amount of people to listen to our show or watch a TV show, and that's what he's doing. He's producing content, and he wants the most amount of people to watch it. He's releasing it at the right time.
Right.
The build-up to the Super Bowl is the right
time.
This
is exactly when you need
it. So, this is really more about as opposed to when he released it.
There's obviously good fortune involved, which is that the Patriots are here. And so, like, that part of it is, like, works for them. But there's no question there's going to be more attention on Brady during Super Bowl week when the Patriots are in the game than at any other point.
So I get why he's doing it and releasing it now. It makes all the sense from a media perspective. Does this make sense if you're Tom Brady, the football player perspective? Do you need this? Do you need the documentary? Do you need to put it out in a five-part or more series where you're dropping one multiple times during the week of the game? And so that is where we started at the beginning.
And it's interesting.
At what point is it enough?
How
much more do you need?
This is also the one week where he's available every day out of the entire year. So it's
so
like there's a fresh
episodes, and then he'll come to the podium and say, "Oh, did you guys see?"
There's a fresh set of questions every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is. Brilliant. Bert Breer is with us on Radio Row. This hour of coverage from Minneapolis is brought to you by Stop and Shop. We have a CBS Sports Minute. It's brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements.
The Mall Food Court, a hotbed of reheated pizza, is now a hotbed of sports talk. Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hard for me to really picture that. I mean, they're such great, legendary coaches. I don't really see myself. I don't think of it that way. I just think of how great they were, what they meant to the game, what they accomplished, and how much respect I have for them. I'd certainly put Paul Brown in there for all that he has done for this football game. When you start talking about the great coaches, I don't see how you can leave him out of it.
That is Bill Belichick saying he's not one of the greatest coaches of all time. Bill Belichick has been brought to you all season by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network, AT&T Entertainment, your way. You know, we haven't spent too much time on the legacy of Belichick this week.
Legacy.
And if he wins, you know, what does that do for his legacy, Bert? What more does that add to it? Where does he end up in this conversation of greatest coaches of all time?
Yeah.
Does it elevate him more than where he's at now with five and plus two more with the Giants?
I think with Brady, like the arguments moved from him versus Montana or Johnny Unitas or Jim Brown to now it's like him versus Michael Jordan, him versus Babe Ruth, him versus Jack Nicklaus, like that sort of stuff.
It's a transcendent type of achievement where you have to go outside of football and outside the sport to find an equal.
I think Bill's getting there. Like, I think Bill's getting there. Like, that, the thing about coaches is that there are, you take into account, like, the impact that they had on the game. And obviously, Paul Brown and Vince Lombardi. Paul Brown with the modernization of the NFL. Vince Lombardi with the merger and the growth of professional football are two guys that, like, their impact went to this level that, like, was just beyond how much they won. And so, it's a little harder with coaches, I think. But, you know, Bill, I think as far as just on field, on court, on ice accomplishment, you know, now, I mean, I think you can have a legitimate argument about him against John Wooden or Red Auerbach or, you know, anybody in any other sport.
I do think that I don't want to say he's enjoying it more, but I started to see this, you know, over the last couple of years, and it's been a build, and I think it is with age, too.
Yeah.
With the kids on his staff, you see him linger more, like post-game, or you see him get a little more excited at the end of games on this trip coming out here. You know, he had some fun on Monday. Then he wore the top hat. He wears Dad's top hat. I don't know if he's smelling the roses or taking it home, but he understands what he's on the brink of. You know,
I mean, he should enjoy it. Like, and that's the thing is, like, I think he knows that. We've talked about this. Like, he probably knows when it's going to be over.
Right.
He's not telling anybody else, but he knows. Like, so, and I think we can all be in agreement that it's not that far off because of his age, because of how long he's been here, and so if you're that guy. and you've always had this kind of this discipline to be so single-minded. And maybe there are times in the past when you didn't enjoy it as much as you thought as you wish you had. I'm sure it's just human to be that way, especially when your kids are there.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think the kids have helped that, them being on the staff.
Probably, yeah.
We've got Mike in Burlington who's got a thought on the Patriots coaching. Let's go to Mike.
Yeah. Good morning, Oz. It's late afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Listen, what's up, Mike? I'm glad you brought that point up about coaching, because most of the announcers during a game always talk about the three phases of the game. To me, it's four phases, because you have a coach from Pop Warner to high school to college to the combines to the draft to the NFL to the game. There's more coaches. They almost extend the whole length of the field in a football game. There's 16 guys in the sideline flashing fingers and giving funny faces, and they only talk about three phases of the game. And I'm glad you guys brought up the coaching phase of the game, because that is a major fourth component. And the Patriots are going to get hurt when they lose the top two and maybe some others, and God knows who's going to replace those two gentlemen plus. I'd like your opinion on that matter being four phases of the game.
Okay. Coaching is obviously important. You won't get anyone here to say anything otherwise.
More important in this sport than other sports.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here every year. Because
right.
That guy. You know, there's reasons other coaches crap their pants when they go to Gillette. They haven't been through it.
So the importance of the coaching in a game like this every year is paramount. It's huge.
Yep.
So let's go to that other point that he made, which is, who do you think replaces Josh McDaniels, and who do you think replaces Matt Patricia, and is it the guys that have been rumored? Chad O'Shea, Brian Flores.
Oh, I think that the plan is to go, and those rumors aren't new. Like, that's been there for a couple of years now, and this isn't coming out of nowhere.
Does it happen? Does it come to fruition in the coming
weeks?
I think
what's more interesting is, do they bring in some sort of senior staff member to work with those guys? The way that, you guys remember when Scott left and they brought in and they elevated Caserio, they also brought in Floyd Reese to backstop the
position. Remember Floyd was here.
Yeah, and so, like,
Lombardi face.
You know, what they could do is they could, like, bring in Greg Schiano as assistant head coach linebackers. You know, just so you've got a second set of eyes for Brian Flores, and you've also got an insurance policy if Flores were to get a head coaching job in the next year or two.
Do you think Flores getting the attention that he got is going to change Bill's mind? Whether or not Bill thought, you know, can he be my coordinator? But the fact that people are after him for a head gig, he's got to be my coordinator. And anybody I do bring in, say it is, because people said Schiano could be the next coordinator, defense coordinator here.
Yeah.
I like your point. Assistant head coach, like when Al Groh was coordinator for us in 96, 97, Bill came in, assistant head coach, and he oversees. And in that documentary, The Two Bills, I don't want to touch anything.
Right.
I don't want to mess anything up.
And I think Schiano could be motivated to go back to the NFL, too, because of what happened with Tennessee. You know, like,
sure.
Everything that he went through there, if you're him, you're probably thinking, it might be difficult for me to get a college head job after that. If he's being honest with himself, right? Because having that hanging over you, having the whole Penn State, I mean, and I don't think he did anything. Like, look.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I thought that thing spun out of control so quickly. Like, the bottom line is, if you're connected to that, though, it's hard to get a college job. If you've got any connection to the Paterno era Penn State.
I mean, the accusation is a bad one, but
it's unsubstantiated.
It hasn't been proven.
Yeah, it's unsubstantiated is the problem.
It's
secondhand to begin with.
Yeah, and it's one person's word against another.
Right.
In that case. Let's go to, in order of weight.
It's a pretty serious thing to convict somebody of without.
Right. And again, the allegation is that he was aware of things that were happening at Penn State. Bill in Providence on Tom versus Time. Just give me 1 second. Go ahead, Bill.
Boys, great show. I'm so happy to see that you guys are out there rocking it. Zo, good luck on Sunday. Hope you kill it.
Thank you.
I have a very basic question. Tom and Time, I think what it does to somebody like me, or hopefully guys like you, it gives us the ability of understanding that this NFL is not a seasonal gig anymore. What I think he actually is showing us by not showing us is that it's a full-time job, and that's, you're making all your gains off-season, not on-season. And a lot of it has to do with what they kid around about is actually having a relationship, understanding the guy you're working with in a big-time industry. And I think what, and this is my opinion, it's sometimes less about the talent, the raw hardcore talent, and more about a guy who wants to do his job and do it right. I know it's very cliche, but we've seen a very lower talented for maybe player this year, but it seems to me these guys are a little harder working than maybe in the past, and I'll wait to hear from you guys on that. But this is a very interesting group of guys getting together, and actually hard work has maybe gotten them there, and it seems like it's almost like kind of funny to a certain degree, because maybe they didn't expect to get this far.
Yep, this is something we touched on and talked about at length earlier in the show. All three of the guys that you saw in episode three, they're all guys that were
seventh round pick, undrafted.
Undrafted, sixth round pick, number 199, seventh round draft pick. You know when they recruit kids out of high school for college and they don't know what they're going to play, they call them athletes, right? They come up as ATH.
Yep.
That's what Julian Edelman was going into the NFL.
Right.
All right, we know we like this kid. Don't know exactly how we're going to use him.
He's not a quarterback. We got to figure out the rest now.
I mean, guys that were counted out
He played corner in the Super Bowl.
And they've got all that. They've got that common thread. And also, we talked to Mike Florio yesterday, and Florio was saying that John Gruden was telling him that the rules prohibiting off-season work and how little he can work with his players now compared to, 15 years ago.
Gruden's going
to
go crazy.
It's driving him nuts coming back to the league, and he wants to get right to work, and he wants to hit the ground running, and he's kind of having a hard time adjusting to that in the modern NFL now, and how he's going to continue to complain about those rules and the, latest CBA. And I think that this is how you get around those rules. You have a quarterback who's committed and has teammates who are committed, and they get together on their own and do the work that they're doing in the offseason.
Right, which, widens. And that's for Peyton Manning, for Tom Brady, for guys that do that sort of stuff and have done that sort of stuff in the 6 years since the new CBA went in, I think it widened the gap.
Bert Breer with us here on Radio Row. Let's get a check of the headlines with Hardy. Also coming up, you will hear a Patriots/Tom Brady montage. A recap of not only this season, but a recap of Tom Brady, period. We'll get to that coming up next, so don't miss it.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Super Bowl week continues here on Radio Row, Mall of America. We are live in Bloomington, Minnesota, where not too far away. The game will be played on Sunday between the Patriots and the Eagles. Rob Gronkowski said today, when asked if he thinks he's going to play, he said yes. He said, really? He said yes. So there you go. Bruins lost 3-1 to Anaheim last night at the TD Garden. The Ducks were the first team to beat the Bees in regulation since Washington Capitals did it back in December. December 14th, as a matter of fact. Next up, the Bruins will take on St. Louis on Thursday night. Celtics play tonight. They host the Knicks. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call at 8 o'clock. The Green are reportedly interested in Tyreek Evans, but so are the Cavaliers, Pelicans, Thunder, Sixers, Heat, and Rockets. Grizzlies apparently want a first rounder for Tyreek Evans. Headlines are brought to you by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network, AT&T, entertainment your way. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub, more headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row at the Mall of America, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 6.
In the end, my life's focused around football. It always has been, it always will be, as long as I'm playing, playing.
One kick is on the way, and it is good! 2, 2, 2.
I've given my body, my everything, every bit of energy for 18 years to it. So if you're going to compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Because I'm giving up mine.
Six.
Should Julian Edelman be out for the season?
Looks like he cut on it, but it was actually non-contact.
Dante Hightower out for the season.
Guys, the Patriots defense is the biggest story for me. They're giving up an average of 32 points per game.
Stephon Gilmore called for a defensive hold, it appears.
Bill Belichick is disgusted, just shaking his head.
Belichick.
Belichick waited until the last possible second to trade Jimmy G.
Fast decision, pinpoint accuracy, Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, son of a bitcher!
My theory was Bob Kraft was closer emotionally to Tom Brady and told Belichick, you can't trade Tom.
Angry disillusion over that decision by the owner.
There have been rumors of friction between Guerrero and the team for a couple of years.
We're so close. You know, he's much more than someone that just works on me.
This about the trainer got out. Somebody wanted to get out,
And the Patriots will head to the postseason with another first-round bye.
So if you're going to compete against me, give up your life,
Touchdown! Conference championship game, a seventh straight trip to the AFC championship.
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bitch.
Goes down the catch by Amendola, turns to the outside, dives to the end zone.
Tom Brady was involved in his right throwing hand making contact.
Back to the end zone by Danny. It's a catch. Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, have their 27th playoff win and their 8th conference championship together. They're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis against the Eagles. The final score, the Patriots 24 and the Jaguars 20.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Our thanks to our good friend, Mark Feldman.
Looks like he's back.
Who did that work for us. He's back in the fold.
Does he ever do anything like to rock? A lot of hip-hop.
Well, yeah, that's his style. He has a style and a...
We're back now to being co-workers with him as he is the producer of Wiki's...
Baby Beatnuts and Q-Tip.
...morning show. And I don't know, maybe he was just eagerly anticipating the chance to work with us again because for all this time he's been
Jell-a-fus-us.
Oh my god.
Happy to have him helping the show.
Jell-a-fus-us.
Look out, Tom. He might be trying to take your job.
Yeah, Tom, don't be Jell-a-fus-us.
T-Bone might be working, what'd you call it? Baby Beat Nuts and Q-Tip?
Yeah.
He might be working on that show.
Jell-a-fus-us.
There
That's
it is.
Right. Thank you. And one more. And now we can move on.
Final segment here with Bert Breer. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50 here from Radio Row in Minneapolis in this hour of Zolak and Bertrand. Brought to you by Stop and Shop. Let's go to Jared in New Hampshire today on Tom versus Time. Jared.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Jared.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, I just wanted to touch up quickly. I know you guys already talked about it, but I know there has been 3 Tom versus Times that have came out, and I'm not too sure. What is there, 5 or 6 of them that are going to be released?
I don't know.
Something in that range. I don't think it's definitive.
I think five have been done.
At least
the 6th is coming. The 6th is the one that's going to be taped.
Right.
Like, we're going to be finalized after the
game. But you might see a 7th.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, you might. You might.
Maybe.
The first 3, there was McDaniels had a couple of parts with him and Tom were on the phone, like, after that Carolina game, and Tom was mad, and then... In the recent one that just came out yesterday, Amendola and Edelman were obviously working with Tom and Montana in the offseason. I just kind of found it interesting that there was, in the first year, that there was no clips or anything with, you know, Tom and Gronk doing anything. Because I know that Gronk had committed to start doing that TB12 stuff. And he's obviously been, you know, doing strong all year, hasn't really had any injuries or anything. And the other thing I found interesting was there was... no clips or anything with Belichick and Kraft, and I found that very, very weird, you know, because...
Wait, you wanted a Belichick and Kraft clip in the Tom Brady documentary?
I don't find either one of them weird because Gronkowski has his own brand that he's worried about.
Right.
He's not going to be appearing on anybody else's Facebook show or anything else. Julian Edelman, too, a certain extent, but he's still kind of growing.
He's made a cottage industry of piggybacking on Tom.
I mean, that's another way of saying
it. He's even got the JE11 hat.
Another way of saying it, yes.
I don't know.
Amendola, he's free to be you and me. You got something going on, Danny Amendola can probably join in. He's got his modeling thing, but in terms of an overall brand, athlete, I am a person.
But I think it's interesting that he isn't in Montana, don't you?
Who?
Gronk.
Maybe he is.
No, he had back season surgery. He wasn't up to 100% yet. I mean, this is 10 weeks before training camp.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but here's I don't find that odd at all.
Here's the thing, too. And I think there's been a lot
it
of...
No, it was right before camp. That was in July.
That was in July?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it said 10 weeks. Oh, 10 weeks before the start of the season.
It was right before.
So
it was
a month
right
before
around
training camp?
Yeah, it was right around. I think
late
it was
June,
July 2nd. It's the dead period for the NFL.
Okay. Well, maybe he was there, maybe he's not. But I think it's telling that this thing is on Facebook, where people put the best version of themselves on their own Facebook page. And I think this is an extension of that. This Facebook film. And I think there's been some good insight. I think you see Tom, you know, being genuine at various points through it. And I think the film studies stuff was great, and it doesn't necessarily show him in a, you know, this compound where he's got his Batman video monitors. No, it's him and a laptop and a little remote, and it's, but for the most part,
golf simulator in the house.
This is a Facebook production. What is Facebook known for?
Well, no, Facebook didn't produce it.
Okay, it's on Facebook. I think
Facebook bid on it.
Whatever it is telling,
Jesus,
as
Bert.
I said, Bert, that people use Facebook to promote the best version of themselves.
No, so I'm just telling you.
It's not a documentary. It's not. It's not somebody coming in.
It's a promotional piece.
Right. It's
promotional.
They can share as much truth as they want. Who knows? Maybe Gronkowski was there the whole time. But for some reason,
I don't want to be in it.
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts is in some kind of peeing match with Facebook over something, and they said, no, Gronk, we don't want you to appear
or
on
Gronk
any film
said,
that airs only on Facebook. Right. Who knows? There's a thousand things
or
that go
or you want to get paid, right?
Right.
I'll do it if you pay me, if you give me a cut of the movie.
Yeah, that's
right?
fair.
I mean, there's all kinds of things. Who the hell knows?
Gronkowski has those great 35-pound footballs that he is selling like hotcakes. The ones
the Gronk Bluetooth.
The Bluetooth ones, the 35 pounds, and easy to play catch.
We've got one at the station, and even Zoe threw it and was like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
If a little kid would ever try to catch that, you would split your head open.
And it's 35 pounds?
It's heavy.
No, there's
it's not 35 pounds.
It weighs like a pound.
Five.
It's probably 5 pounds.
Nah.
It probably.
So it's like a medicine.
This is. Oh, God, it's heavier than this.
It's heavy. And
it's got to be
and
2 pounds.
Don't forget, Bill Belichick was quoted in the New York Times this week saying that that Scott Zolak could throw the hell out of the ball. Yeah. Just remember that.
Load that amount.
Put that up on the wall.
I saw. Scott Zolak in the New York Times.
So. Yeah, big time. Bert, you got to go because we got to talk to Brad Stevens.
You got it.
Great
it's
seeing
getting
you.
Busy here.
Woo! It's getting very busy here on Radio Row. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be talking to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, coming up next.
Live from Minneapolis, it's Zoe and Beetle, sponsored by Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, live from Radio Row in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52. Brought to you all week by Direct Federal Credit Union. Let's go to the phones and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Coach Brad Stevens, joining us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's cold out here in Minnesota. I don't know, like, when you guys play out here and play.
Are you doing your show outside?
No. We're in the Mall of America, and I'm sure you love the mall, just like we do. I mean, we are literally. Coach, we're in a food court.
Recruit in Minneapolis, I would usually stop by there and burn some hours at the Mall of America for sure.
It's not bad.
We've been here for 3 days, and we have no clue where Minneapolis is. We haven't left the mall.
Is that right?
Literally.
Yeah, we don't know where downtown is.
We went to St. Paul for opening night.
That was nice.
Yeah, we did do that, but we're not really sure where everything is.
Is the new stadium out by the Mall of America?
We don't know.
I think it's downtown.
I don't think so.
It's downtown.
I think we would have probably seen that if it was close to here.
It's in Minneapolis.
It's downtown?
Yeah, it's what it says on the address.
Okay.
Minneapolis. Wherever the hell that is.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the Celtics.
Like, sounds like there's still a lot to explore.
Yeah, we'll figure it out when it's 2 degrees outside. Celtics got back on track with a win on Monday against Denver. Tonight's the New York Knicks at the Garden. If you were assessing the team right now, your team, where would you say your weakness is or something that you'd like to work on going forward?
Basketball. I think we've got a lot of room to work in every area. Obviously we've actually played better in the last four games offensively. When we went on the road, we did some minor tweaking, but I think we played with a little bit more pace, played a little bit more ball movement, more player movement, and that was a good sign after our three games post getting back from London here at home. So I felt good about the way that we played on the road trip. You know, the Lakers game, we had a chance to win against a team that was playing really well at home, and I thought played really well that night. And then the next night to come back and win that Clippers game was a big deal. I thought we played our best game of the season against Golden State. Despite the loss, I thought we were really locked in. We were really connected, played with great poise and pace and maturity, and responded to their runs. And obviously Curry had an incredible performance against us, but we were really, I thought we were really good when I went back and looked at film, and then found a way to win a Denver game against a really good Denver team on their floor, which is historically a very tough place to play, especially at the end of a trip. So, you know, I'm pleased with the results of that. We did not play well here prior to that. I'm looking forward to this week to see if we can improve upon those performances.
You've beaten those teams in regular season games, whether it was Golden State, teams like Cleveland before, and it would always be the comment that if it would get to a series, that's where we would get into trouble. But now you're years into it. Are those individual games, say, against like a Golden State where, you know, Rozier hits that big shot, you're coming back, you guys didn't quit in that game, do you feel better about this type of team where now, you know, if we get in a series with this team, I can make some adjustments because now I got a better handle on what we do and where our program is?
Well, I think it all depends on, first of all, who your matchup is and how you match up with that team. You know, I think Golden State can blow anybody out of the water any day of the week, right, if you're not totally on your game. Your margin is so small. I thought we controlled the controllables probably better than any regular season game that I've been a part of, and they still scored 109 points. And so when you think about that, you realize that you've got to – I mean, you can't miss one. There's no margin for error defensively against a team like Golden State. That said, we've played pretty well against them over the past couple of years. And so I think that's always just – it's based on how you match up, you know, how your you know, each team presents its own unique set of challenges, and you know, you have to be able to try to match up to those. And basketball is unique because there's only five guys on the court at once, and there are a few different styles and ways of playing. But at the end of the day, that, you know, if you get a guy or two that are very, very difficult matchups, that can be for a long night or series.
Coach, what is the status of Kyrie Irving for tonight's game? Will he play?
No, he's out. He got hit in the quad pretty good. Was able to finish the game, tightened up yesterday, didn't feel any better today. I saw him this morning. He was at the facility getting treatment and that. And so, no, he's out.
I'm sure this is something you've seen quite a bit before. Do you have a gut feeling as to how much time he might miss over this?
I think the biggest thing when you talk about the quad contusion or thigh bruise or deep thigh bruise, whatever the case may be, is that, you know, it's something that is fully resolved, because you obviously don't, you know, we're 51 games in and we don't want him playing with a muscular issue. You know, obviously, you know, you don't want him to, because of that, have trouble getting loose and then pulling a muscle or whatever the case may be. Obviously, he did not feel any better today, so it was an easy decision not to play him. We'll see and reassess him tomorrow and figure out where we go from here.
Has Marcus Smart been reassessed, and where do things stand with him right now?
He had an appointment today, and I have not been briefed on how that appointment went. You know, we initially put out that it was a two-week timeline, and that's every indication that I've been given is that's what it is.
All right. Celtics coach Brad Stevens, you can catch tonight's game against the Knicks right here on the Sports Hub. Coach, thank you.
All right, guys. Have fun out there.
All right. See you, Coach.
Talk to you soon. See Celtics head coach Brad Stevens joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy has headlines, 90 seconds, no commercials. When we come back on the other side, we will be talking to someone who is in an exclusive club that consists of just him and Tom Brady. Two guys in this club. We'll tell you which club that is coming up after this.